Isn't that encouraging? Well, that's what we're talking about today. William Arthur Ward once said, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticise me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you, but encourage me and I will not forget you." When you think about all the good things that a human being can do for another person, the act of encouragement, I would argue, would be amongst the most powerful gifts that we can share with one another. It's been nearly 10 months since Judy and I attended our induction service here at the Hills Christian Family Centre. And one of the things that we have been especially blessed by is the encouragement that we have received from the people in this place as we have begun our ministry journey here. In person, text messages, emails, notes, it's just been wonderful to receive that gift from each of you. In fact, I've often said that encouragement could be the single most important factor that's needed for a pastor or a ministry leader or a missionary in order to keep going week in, week out, month on and year on. Someone once said that preaching is like giving birth on Sunday and then finding out you're pregnant again on Monday. When I told Judy that, she said that must have been a male. I've been present at two births. In fact, if you include my own, I've been present at three births. And I was very close to pain, very close in distance as opposed to actual experience. So why is that? Why is encouragement so important in church work? Sometimes I guess it's hard to define what is success in church life, what is considered to be a good job. How do we define what is progress or an acceptable pass mark when it comes to church life? I think that's why encouragement is so important. Encouragement can keep us going for a day, a week, a month, sometimes a year. Some encouragements are so powerful that they resonate throughout our entire life. I wonder if any of you can remember a word of encouragement that you might have received at some stage from a person that you can still recall years after it was given. They're so important. But it's equally true that the reality of discouragement is something that we need to be aware of and, in fact, ward off and not give in to. The series that we're engaged in at the moment, as you can see on the screen, is called The Tough Stuff of Relationships, and week three is about encouragement. Now, you might be thinking, well, okay, why would you put encouragement in the tough stuff? Like, maybe it sounds easy to you to do and it's not quite hard to reconcile while it would be in the tough stuff. I think encouragement still needs to be placed in that category because the potential for us to let slide the opportunity or the potential or the moment to encourage is very easy. And I think about sometimes if you reflect on the ability for our own lives to make us absorbed in what's going on and for us to miss the moment to encourage someone, often it actually requires a little bit of effort, a little bit of focus, if you like, beyond ourselves in order to actually make that step and encourage someone. Sometimes we're afraid that, you know, well, we don't want to step into someone's space or we don't want to share a bit of ourselves, or sometimes we're just thinking, I want to be encouraged. I don't want to waste time encouraging someone else. I'm waiting for someone to do it to me. But obviously, if you think about it, the less encouragement that we're engaged in obviously creates the sum total of a less amount of encouragement in our community. So encouragement really does take an effort and requires some attention to detail. And I'm going to spend some time today explaining why it's so important and why we all need to give attention to it in sharing it, but also, as it turns out, in opening ourselves up to encouragement. We actually need to be open to it. Sometimes some of us give off the vibes. It's like, don't you encourage me. I mean, I'll be sad if I want to. If I want to be depressed, you just take your encouragement somewhere else, because I'm having a little pity party over here and you just leave me alone. So we need to give off the gripe vibe as well as get ready to involved in encouragement. I feel encouraged about encouragement because every time I've done a spiritual gift survey, if you've never heard of one of those, we might speak about those later in the year, encouragement has come up on the list for me. And I don't know if that's encouraging to you or if that's something I should share with you. I'm not sure if you're supposed to self-identify as an encourager, but I feel like I've landed in that space often. But I've also, not only, if you like, been identified as an encourager, but also I've had experience with discouragement. 7 years ago, nearly to the day, Judy and I began to experience some significant turmoil in our lives. A member of my family died at a young age, and Judy and I were in the process of selling our home when I began to study, which coincided with a period of financial hardship. And I remember now, because it is a bit of a memory, going through a period where I really got discouraged about all those events. Sometimes, many of you will be aware, one significant thing on top of another tests us and brings us to that place of discouragement. And when we get discouraged, we become vulnerable. And I'm now starting to give you the first clue as to why this is so important. Quite frankly, in any family, in any community, but it's especially so in the church community, that encouragement becomes our way of life and that discouragement becomes something that we seek to deal with. There's an old fable that says the devil once held a sale and offered all of the tools of his trade to anyone who would pay their price. They were spread out on the table and each one was labelled hatred, malice, envy, despair, sickness, sensuality, all the weapons that everyone knows about so well. But off to one side lay a harmless-looking wood-shaped instrument marked discouragement. It was old and worn and looking, but it was priced far above all the rest. When asked the reason why, the devil said, "Because I can use this one so much more easily than the others. No one knows that it belongs to me. So with it, I can open doors that are tightly bolted against the others. Once I get inside, I can use any tool that suits me best." Now that's a parable, but there are powerful spiritual truths that I believe are sustained by the Word of God behind it. Firstly, that discouragement belongs to the evil one. Discouragement is a tool of Satan. So it's not just, oh, yeah, you know, whatever, I'm just going to be discouraged for a couple of months and, you know, who cares. But conversely, also, encouragement belongs to God. So this is not just about saying, hey, let's just cheer each other up, say a few words, you know, let's just, you know, give us a bit of a pat on the back. But we're talking about something far more significant that I'm going to allude to in the moment. But the other thing we need to be warned of and wary of is that discouragement, when we persist in that state for an extended period of time, we become vulnerable to other temptations and distractions in our walk with Jesus. And if you think about that, you can see the truth of that. Because to remain in discouragement is ultimately to get to a place where you don't care so much about how you obey or how you follow or how you talk or what you think, because you're so discouraged that you've thrown off any sense that anything really matters. And as many of you would have perhaps witnessed or experienced or seen maybe in families and the lives of friends, when discouragement reaches its ultimate stage, it can end with a person deciding to take their own life. It's not the only factor going on, but oftenly a person gets to that state where the spiritual warfare, if you like, has increased to a level where they would actually think about doing something like that. So discouragement is serious. However, after Judy and I had spent a period of time in this place and going through this, about 3 years ago, the Lord really challenged me. And I think he was as worn out by my discouragement as I was. At the start of 2013, I felt the Lord say to me one day, very powerfully, David, this is to be the year of faith-filled speech, thought and prayer. That God, if you like, had journeyed with me through this time of reflecting on things that had not worked out in the past or that had gone wrong or that had troubled me so, had reflected on my persistence, if you like, in discouragement, because in some sense that's what it was. I was, if you like, joining in to the ministry of discouragement as much as anyone was in terms of my own life. And God, if you like, got to a stage where he said, it's now time for a change in the way that you are thinking and speaking and even praying over yourself and your circumstances. And I'm bold enough to believe that today there are some people here that also need to reach the point where they have to, if you like, receive something from God and make a decision to begin to think and speak and even pray differently, if you like, over themselves and even perhaps over other people in their close vicinity. That God is not only encouraging us to put aside our discouragement, but maybe even warning us about the dangers and the threats that come in persisting in it. We really need to be challenged in this area today. Now, so God challenged me with that and spoke to me about the way that was going through in my life, and you might say that God has encouraged me since then, which he has done. Now, you might be thinking, perhaps, or you may be far ahead of me, which is fine, what has this got to do with relationships? Is it a talk about encouragement and discouragement, or has it got anything to do with relationships? So, firstly, it's got something to do with relationships because you can see how encouragement and discouragement affect our relationship with God. That you might go through a period of being discouraged, but to persist in that, because of its internal nature, if you like, eventually is going to start to erode the way that you interact with your Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It must in the end go in that way. Unless there is some way of dealing with it, even praying about it and developing it, that's going to be under threat. But also it affects the way that we relate to others at the same time. I mean, who wants to be around someone who is discouraged? Not really, okay? But having said that, we all need sometimes to do that as an act of love to someone. All right, so God didn't shut up shop on me and say, mate, you are killing me. I mean, fair dinkum, you're boring me, you're depressing me. I'll go and find someone else a bit happier. But God persisted with me through that time. Who wants to be around someone who is discouraging? I mean, that is tough. That is hard. I mean, given a choice, folks, let's be encouraging. Because to discourage, to speak ill over others, to talk about others in a way or situations that are external circumstances that have no hope is almost impossible to endure for more than a certain period of time. But think about the totally different experience when we are encouraged by others and they are encouraged by us. Think about what it's like to be around someone who you always find is encouraging. This is not just about being happy or positive, but someone who speaks life into a situation. How do you feel as well when you're able to share something with someone and they say, hey, you know, we're encouraged by that. That's really good. So it's a real blessing to do that. So you might be thinking, all right, Pastor, well, this sounds encouraging, but at the moment, it's really a bit of a pep talk. You'd say something nice like this at church, wouldn't you? And we could hear this perhaps in lots of different places. And maybe you're thinking, It's just not much more than that. Well, I'm glad you thought that, because I want to address the more deeper side to encouragement and discouragement, which are actually, as I've already alluded to, weapons of spiritual warfare. Now I've got your attention. Now we're doing spiritual warfare, because encouragement and discouragement fall very much into that category. So if the thought of going up to someone and cheering them up and giving them a bit of encouragement sounds a bit ho-hum to you, what about the thought of going into battle and picking up encouragement and going to war on behalf of someone who desperately needs to be released from the shackles of discouragement, who desperately needs someone to step into their space, to take authority over their circumstances, over the devil, and to lift them up and build them up in Jesus' name? Because that is exactly how the Bible depicts encouragement and discouragement. Because when done to their maximum and extreme, they can have the most profound effect on us. The effect of discouragement to bind us and to hold us and restrict us in jail, in prison, unable to believe the promises of God, unable to share anything of value or of worth to someone else, and to be completely restricted in our thinking and in our doing and our speaking. And yet on the other hand, the ability to release encouragement into someone's life, who then is able to think and believe and speak in an encouraged way, and then to share that with those who are around them who they come to experience. It is literally a spiritual battle. So as I've been saying earlier, I don't have any doubt here today that there are people that need the spirit of discouragement broken over them here today. That there are people here, either maybe in a small sense or in a large sense, that need to walk out of here today in an encouraged state, who need to have a different view and a different way of thinking about their life, themselves, their circumstances, their relationships, their job, their community, their neighbours, their family, whatever. They need to have a different way of thinking about that and have discouragement broken over them today. And I believe, by the power of the Holy Spirit, on the authority of God's word, it is possible for that to occur for you today. That you are able to go from discouragement to encouragement today. Because God is passionately interested in your encouragement. He's given it as a spiritual gift among his people, and he wants to speak into the life of everyone here today that would be encouraged. And right now you can think about, I'm sure, just sitting there right at the moment, circumstances that you know you're discouraged about, situations that you know you're discouraged about, yourself that you're discouraged about. You could list them off. They're right in the presence of your mind right now. God wants to speak to that today. God wants to speak to your discouragement today. He wants you to leave today encouraged. Now the question is, have you staked a ground in state of discouragement and saying, well, I'm not leaving here. I like it here. Well, I don't really, but it's familiar. But the question is, do you want to leave there and do you want to walk into a place of encouragement today? Because Jesus wants everyone to be encouraged. And not just in a nice sort of a pat on the shoulder type way, but in a way that makes a material difference to your life. And he's ready to outwork that here today. Okay, so let's say a bit more about encouragement in its role in spiritual warfare. If you look through the Bible, depending on which translation, which search engine you use, you'll discover 23 different one another's. I talk about these a lot in church life because we have been given extensive information by the scriptures about how to live with, one another. We haven't been left in a mystery. 8 of those relate directly to how we communicate with one another. There it is. And there is the list there on for the screen for you right now. Greet, speak, agree with one another, instruct, teach and admonish, don't slander, don't deceive, and encourage one another. So the idea of encouraging one another is not, well, the pastor thought it'd be nice if we did that. It'd just cheer things up a bit over morning tea. Just make things a bit more pleasant. I think we'll whack it on the list. But it's actually given to us by the Holy Spirit inspired scriptures as a way of living among each other. So we are to encourage each other. It's actually a command. And all of us need to be aware of that. So the first thing we can say about encouragement is that encouragement protects against hard-heartedness. Hebrews chapter 3, 13 says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So here, the interesting thing to reflect about already is the ministry of encouragement as a preventative. Because when I reckon I talk to you about encouragement, most of you think there is a person who is struggling, I will go along and encourage them. We're often thinking about encouragement as a reaction. But here the scripture talks about encouragement as a preventative, that we are to be constantly involved in a ministry of encouragement. Why? Because to let it go and to just say, well, someone else will do it, or, you know, I don't know what to say, or the person might think I'm stupid, or I'm a bit embarrassed, or wah, wah, wah. To let it slip then is to open up the possibility that we as believers can become hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Because the scripture talks about Satan prowling around like a lion, wanting to devour anyone that he can. So the equivalent when it comes to encouragement is that it seems like sometimes discouragement is only a step or two away from our walk with Jesus. And I've got to speak, and Judy will tell you that sometimes I seem to drop into that far too often than I'm actually happy with. But it seems like at times you sense the spiritual warfare, and it's not spiritual warfare of this nature or this nature, but it's a spiritual warfare of discouragement. So if the evil one can just lead you off down, well, why don't you just stand over here and think about how bad or how much or how this or whatever, and it can't and it won't and they won't and you can't. And all of a sudden, you're off down a rabbit hole, sitting there dwelling in discouragement. So there's a ministry where there is constant encouragement that is encouraged in the body of Christ, so that we don't end up in the place where we've become hardened. We've just said, it's not going to change. It's not going to work. Nothing's going to change. Won't make any difference. And we've become hardened to the love and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, we need to offer that gift. And the amount of times it's been interesting, being a lead pastor for the first time over the past 10 months, when, you know, the discouragement's just drifting and hanging around a little bit, and then all of a sudden I'll get a text message from someone. Someone in the congregation will just say, hey, we value what you're doing. You're doing a good job. Thank you. Or something like that. Simple stuff. Now, I don't know whether text messages are a curse or a bonus in our society. Often most of us think, man, how do we ever get by without them? It's like, give me a break. But I reckon actually sometimes they've got the potential for good in the body of Christ. Because often we wouldn't necessarily pick up the phone or go around to see someone, even though we should do both of those things more often. But sometimes we just say, hey, I'm just going to get on here and say, listen, you need to know that you're doing a good job. God loves you, and I'm praying for you right now. Bam! And off it goes. And we know the power of words in our life. We know it. And a little text message that someone's actually taken the trouble to punch that in, you're looking at that. Friends, I'll show you my phone afterwards. I've got text messages, seriously, from years ago. I leave them on my phone. I leave them on my phone. I've got text messages from a week ago, a month, a year. Throughout this time that I've been here, I've kept a lot of them. And I've got to tell you, every now and again, I go back and I read them. Because it's like a battle. It's like saying, well, I'd rather feel a bit down. Thank you very much. And then I think, well, you don't really need to do that because you've received encouragement in writing and it's actually still on your phone. So maybe you ought to go and read those. So friends, I'm not talking about being vain or, you know, trying to puff yourself up with pride. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the ministry, spiritual ministry activity of encouragement. So share that with each other. It has a preventative effect. The second thing we're going to say about encouragement is that true encouragement is not wishful thinking. It is based upon biblical fact and spiritual reality. And an example of this is found in Deuteronomy 1, where we read these words. This is God speaking to Moses. I really should have checked that before I actually put it in there. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it, talking about the promised land. Encourage him. Why? Because he will lead Israel to inherit it. So encouragement's not just saying, oh, they're there, it'll get better. Things will turn out okay. You know, not that those things are necessarily untrue. But here we see the word will on either side of the encouragement. So God has given a promise and said, this guy is going over. He's going in the front of God's people. They're going into the promised land. Therefore, encourage him. It's going to happen, so encourage him. So folks, we need to get informed about what God is doing in the life of the church and in the lives of the people around us. And we need to speak that reality over each other. We need to speak words of encouragement based on the truth of God and what he is doing and will do in people's lives. Now you might think, well, I'm not sure if it's this or that, but friends, we can gain a lot of certainty out of the word of God about what he will do in people's lives and what he is doing in the life of this church. So this is not mamby-pamby, just say something nice to him. This is grabbing a hold of the spiritual truth and encouraging others in it. In general terms, how it applies to all human beings. In specific terms, about how it applies to all Christians. But then looking into someone's life prophetically, as God did through Moses on this occasion, and say, you are going through. You will not stay here. You will not be bound down by discouragement. But God's purposes will be achieved in your lives. And friends, one of the most powerful things is we sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit about someone else or even ourselves, and we share that with them and affirm them and speak it into their life. And that's, we know it's a spiritual gift. It's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. God's waiting and ready to do it. But friends, are we open and will we share it with each other? Because here it's based on something that is actually going to happen in the life of Joshua. Thirdly, encouragement is a spiritual gift. We have discussed this, but we're going to put this up here as well. It says in the book of Romans, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, possibly when you read that, you're thinking, oh, there's an out. I don't have a spiritual gift of encouragement. I'm just going to slink back into my little bubble world and not get involved in it. But friends, I believe we're all called to encourage one another. I just read that scripture out to you. That applies to all of us. This one, however, wants to recognise the gift that God places in our community, the spiritual gift of encouragement. I want to ask you today, do you have that gift? Has someone ever said you're always encouraging, you're very encouraging? Have you ever thought about the fact that you might have been given a ministry of encouragement in our church? Friends, we need that gift once, twice, three times, five. I'll take 10 encouragers in this church if we can find them, who are just committed to saying and speaking the truth of God over others whenever they are given impulse, whenever they see the need, when in season, out of season to do that. So friends, it might sound weird, but we need to encourage those with a spiritual gift of encouragement, because we rely upon them as a church community, and we should acknowledge them and encourage them to share that gift with each other. So encouragement is a spiritual gift. It's not just a pep talk. It's not just a... It's actually given to the body of Christ. In another sort of a way, even prophecy is linked with encouragement, where it says the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. And we have shared with the church prophetical words that have encouraged lots of people. We've printed them out. People have come up and said, I need a copy of that. That speaks into my circumstances. So prophecy and prophetic words have the ability to encourage and to lift up and to strengthen. And God has shared those gifts in our community, even over recent times. Now, fourthly and fifthly, we've got two more to go, and this is, I think, where we really get to the fun part. So we're going to end there, and then we're going to do a bit of encouraging ourselves. Four, biblical encouragement has faithfulness to Jesus as its focus. Barnabas, whose name actually meant son of encouragement, was sent by the Jerusalem church to investigate the outbreak of faith in Antioch. What an exciting task. We've heard the people believe in Jesus in this place. Barnabas, go down and find out what's happening and tell us the story. And this is what it says in Acts 11. When Barnabas arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So encouragement is just not about, oh, things will get better, you know, it'll turn out all right. But it's about encouraging each other to remain faithful to Jesus. Because, friends, I want to suggest that to lose our way in our walk with Jesus Christ, or to miss it entirely and never discover it, really renders the most ultimate encouragement in our life null and void. Our ultimate encouragement is that Jesus loves everyone, that Jesus died for everyone, that Jesus has broken the power of sin in everyone's life who says yes to him and accepts his salvation. That's the ultimate encouragement. So we need to be open to that, and that's where Christian encouragement is rooted, in that reality of Jesus being Lord of all and of us remaining faithful to him. So that's what it's all about. The message was the same when Barnabas returned to Antioch with Paul later and strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So encouragement is not just a suspension of reality. It's not just it's all going to be fine. You're going to be in absolute hilarious raptures your whole life. Encouragement talks about the reality of the struggles we go through, but also declares alongside of it the reality that we are able to endure with the power of God. It's both at the same time. It's not saying, look at this wonderful, happy life that I live, I will therefore be encouraged. But it's saying, even though you see these circumstances and experience these circumstances which threaten to derail your faith, yet we will persist and remain faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the spiritual ministry of encouragement. And we need to share that with each other, not just about putting on happy faces, but to stand by each other as we go through that time. Finally, and this is such a great place to end as we move towards wrapping up this message, encouragement is a ministry of God to his people. It says in Psalm 10 verse 17, you, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry. Now, one day I'm going to preach a sermon where we just put a verse on the screen and we just spend half an hour looking at it. Because we could look at this and the Holy Spirit could take those words and he could apply them and apply them and apply them, and we could never get sick of looking at the fact that God hears the desire of the afflicted, he encourages them and listens to their cry. If you could take anything out of that service today, this service today, it would be to remember that promise. Here's another one. They just keep going, folks. The Bible's full of them. Now we're in the New Testament. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. And I want that phrase to just resonate with you, encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been encouraged by the Holy Spirit? I think I'm encouraged by the Holy Spirit, to be honest, probably every day and sometimes more. In some way, it's not a boast, but in some way, the Holy Spirit is right there with us, and we're starting to lean, and we're starting to crouch, and we're a bit bowed over, and the Holy Spirit comes in and whacks in a plank underneath. It says, don't you go down there. Don't you start to wobble. Be strong and courageous. Believe in the power of God. And he gives us that little bit of encouragement. Friends, if you are not aware or awake to the fact that the Holy Spirit encourages, may you be in the next 10 minutes before you walk out of here today, because it is a truth. And I could also get you to look at that phrase, encouraged by the Holy Spirit. We could sit here for a day, and by the end of it, you would receive and understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit's encouragement more than anything else. He is there to help us. And then finally in Romans 15, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Jesus Christ had. God gives endurance and encouragement. God gives endurance and encouragement. It's his gift to all of his people here today. And you can receive that just before we close in a few moments' time. God gives encouragement and endurance. Now let me just say a few words about discouragement before we close. To be discouraged is obviously to lack courage or hope about ourselves or our circumstances. When you break down the etymology of the word encouragement, en means in. So encouragement is to put courage into someone. That's what you're doing. And without it, you're discouraged, you lack courage. You lack courage about yourself, your circumstances, your life, your family or whatever. So to be encouraged is received and have encouragement put in. Friends, there's no reason for a follower of Jesus to be discouraged for an extended period of time. And I say that as someone who has struggled with it, but I'm speaking it over each of you now. As hard as that might seem, I'm not trying to make you discouraged about your discouragement. I'm just trying to explain further why encouragement and discouragement is a matter of spiritual warfare for the follower of Jesus. For a believer to be consistently or persistently discouraged, there must be some spiritual affliction, some lack of knowledge or faith about the promises and the purposes of God. We just can't escape the fact that God will not allow, can't contemplate an extended period of discouragement. That might sound harsh, but it's actually a biblical reality. Now, that's not to say that we don't have mercy on people who are discouraged, and it's not to say that we don't need mercy when we are discouraged. I experienced that myself. I understand that. We all need encouragement. But we have to participate in that by not only encouraging each other, but also by becoming acquainted with, reminded of, and renewed in the promises of God. And folks, I'm telling you straight, you've heard it say me before, if you do not engage with this on a regular basis, you will forget and become disacquainted with the promises of God. Because there's so many weapons in here that would fight against discouragement. If you're following our Life Journal reading plan, this month you'll be reading with me from Psalm 40 to Psalm 69. And this has been a fantastic week. This book allows people to express their discouragement with God. It's full of it. And you read it and you think, should that have been in there? Should they have put, maybe they should have cut that out. Just go straight to the praise God bit. But most of the Psalms either start with or in the middle with have someone saying, this is a disaster. My life's in the toilet. But yet, because of who he is, I will praise God. Full of it in the Psalms. Friends, you will miss those journeys in your thought and your speech and your pattern if you do not connect with this. And you'll start to believe some other narrative about some other thing in relation to your life or your circumstances. So we all need to get across this. We also need to about a new way of thinking about failure. And I'm going to read this quote just before we stop for a moment here. This is a book by Paul de Jong called Failure Freedom. Some of you are looking at that thinking, I can avoid failing? No, it's not that actually. It's just understanding failure and moving forward. Dale Carnegie said, develop success from failures. Develop success from failures. What? Discouragement and failure are two of the surest stepping stones to success. What? Discouragement and failure? Why? How? Paul de Jong says, one way to confine something is to put a fence around it. Having emphasised the inevitability of failure and the consequences of not dealing with our failures, there is now a very important action for us to take if we want to live a life of fullness of our faith. We must learn to put boundaries and fences around our failures to thereby confine them to their rightful place in the past. If it is sin, then the forgiveness for which Jesus has already paid must be applied. If the failure is not achieving what we had hoped to achieve, we must get back up and run again, no matter how often we have fallen short. Such boundaries will help us rise again after a failure and help us fight against the thoughts and feelings which tempt us to give up. That's a discouragement. Interesting, isn't it, to think about failure in that way, as something that needs to be limited, because some of us allow past failures to hammer and hammer and hammer. They're given far too much influence and attention in our life. And they need to be fenced off. They need to be roped off because they're gone, they happened, but they are not the end of the story. We need to rise again and again. And finally, before we pray, there's the quote. 2 Thessalonians says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. How would you like to be encouraged forever? Everyone who says yes to Jesus receives eternal encouragement. To deny the encouragement available to us is to deny Jesus himself, because he eternally encourages. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank you for the word that you have spoken over us today. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to receive your encouragement, Lord. And Father, we acknowledge at times we are people who are discouraged. The circumstances of life, our mistakes and the failings of others try to trap us in a state and a mind where we become discouraged. We just don't think about the possibility of you moving in our lives. But Lord, today you've given all of us a challenge and you've given us a hope. You've given us the opportunity to be encouraged, to be inspired, to encourage the others that are around us today. And Lord, I pray by the grace that you have given us that we will be a people who are encouragers of others. We will be a people who speak life and love into the lives over others. But Lord, I also pray for those here who are discouraged today, that they will receive your encouragement and the encouragement of someone else. That you, Lord, will even speak to them right now. Father, I also want to pray for anyone here today who has not yet said yes to you, who hasn't received the encouragement that you give in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that this would be the day that they say yes to you. That this would be the day that they receive the greatest encouragement that any human being can receive. And that is that you died for them, you love them, and you release them from their sin. You put a boundary and a fence around it right now. Lord, may that be their revelation even here. May they respond to it. May they even pray this prayer. If that is you this morning and you want to say this prayer, you can say this prayer of yes to Jesus right now. Just where you're sitting, you can speak to him in your heart by saying something like, Lord Jesus, I need your encouragement. I need your salvation. I want you to come into my life and change it so that I can be an encourager of others. I pray this in and through your name. Amen. Folks, I'm just going to indulge you for a couple of minutes. And I had planned to do this slightly differently, but time has slipped away from us. But I want to do one thing just before we go and close. I want to give you a moment to encourage someone or to be encouraged by someone. Now, you can just do that with the person that you're sitting next to. That is absolutely fine. But if you feel to get up and walk around the room, that is absolutely fine as well. But we're going to do that now. Just a word. Maybe you're sitting next to someone that you know really well, but now that you think about it, you don't encourage them enough. Maybe that's you. Maybe you have someone on your mind right now in this auditorium and you know that you need to go up and give them a word of encouragement. You've been thinking about them while you've been listening to this sermon. Or maybe you're a person who needs to be encouraged. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that God will direct us now. So we're going to give it a few moments. And I might even invite the team to come forward. Sorry for the late notice. You don't have to, Hannah. We just need the musicians, if that's all right. Can you do that, Nadine? There's Sam. He's appeared out of the corridor. So here we go, folks. Just a few more minutes of encouragement, and then we're going to say goodbye.